And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God."
Great, Conrad, you can sit down. Should we give Conrad a clap as well, just in the interest of fairness? Okay, so let's see if we can remember our points. Our first one was, Jesus is God's... Thanks, Andy, you know, Joel, whoever it was down there with a loud voice. And the second one was, Jesus faced God's judgment. That's right, so that's what's happening in the reading that Conrad's just read. How do you know that that's what's going on, though? I wonder if anybody can remember or think of any of the things that happened in that passage that show us that Jesus is facing God's judgment. Lucas, what happened? Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute. That's a great answer. What else happened that showed us that Jesus was facing God's judgment? What happened to the sky and the sun? Yep. It all went dark. Yeah, a couple of people said it. Yeah, so everything went dark. So one of the things, look, darkness. It was the middle of the day when Jesus was dying on the cross, and yet it went dark for 3 hours. I mean, can you imagine that? If all of a sudden, you know, it's a bright sunny day, all of a sudden it just went dark. That's a sign that God's judgment is happening, God's punishment for sin, God's anger against rebels who'd rejected his king and his kingdom, God's right reaction to anyone who hadn't obeyed his laws. See, light in the Bible is associated with God's goodness and his blessing and his presence. And here, all that is being withdrawn as Jesus faces judgment. So you can tell from the weather, if you like. But you can also tell from the words, right? From what Jesus says. So we'll put an explosion around some of those. You know, he cries out, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani." My God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus, in his role as God become man, is experiencing God's punishment for mankind. He's experiencing being forsaken by God. That means that he's feeling like God is turning away from him, turning his back on him. He's feeling what it feels like to be shut out of heaven. Do you get that? So Jesus is the only one to whom that no entry sign doesn't apply. And yet here, Jesus is experiencing the no entry sign, isn't he? Jesus, the royal, is facing the punishment that rightly belongs to the rebels, to Dave the rebel, to Tim the rebel, to Neve the rebel. So Jesus faced God's judgment. I've got another symbol for somebody to hold up. And I need a volunteer who wants to do this one. Let's have Rebecca. I always have twin problems, but let's have Phoebe. Rebecca, you can come and do another job for me in a minute. Great, you stand there, Neve. So we've got a king and a cross. But that's not the whole of our sentence for this morning, isn't it? Is it? We've got another point. So, Jesus is God's. Jesus faced God's. And can you remember the third one? Jesus opened God's. That's right. So, let me get you to cast your minds back to the temple in Jerusalem. In that temple, they had a very visible reminder of the no-entry sign that hangs over the presence of God. Now, it wasn't a sign. It was a curtain. It was a big, thick, heavy curtain that separated the rest of the temple from the most holy place, the bit where God lived in a special sort of a way. So there's a curtain a little bit, not very much, but a very little bit like this one. So I need two more volunteers. Rebecca, you can come up now, and we'll have Lucas as well. So what I need you guys to do is, if Neve and Phoebe, you can stand over here. Rebecca and Lucas, you stand here. And hold this up as high as you possibly can, like that. So here we go, big old curtain in the temple, and you couldn't just pull back the curtain and go in to sort of meet with God. If you did, you'd die. Only the high priest could do it, and he could only do it once a year, And he could only do it when he'd made certain sacrifices. And even then, they used to tie a rope around him in case he died while he was in there, and they had to pull him out. But have a look at your Bible, see if you can find verse 38, and can someone tell me what happens in that verse? What happens to the curtain? Yeah, Martha. It was ripped from top to bottom. That's right. So at the moment when Jesus dies, Mark tells us, the curtain is torn in two and the way to God is open. When God's king faces God's judgment, it opens God's kingdom. There's no more animal sacrifices, no more only one guy and only once a year. Anyone from anywhere can come and know God and live with God and be part of God's kingdom. And as if to demonstrate that, the guy in the story who gets it, the guy who realizes that Jesus is God's king, who cries out, surely this man was the Son of God, is a Roman soldier. So what's going on is, and this is where the visual aid that Thea made for me really comes into its own, it's like the cross and the crown combine to cut the curtain. So I'm going to need your crown and your cross. This is like, Thea has worked wonders to make this workable. Well, at least I hope she has, and I'm not going to cut into anybody. Right, so we've got... hang on. Don't worry, it's all very safe. Right. We've got, on this giant pair of scissors, we've got the cross on one half and the crown on the other half. And the point is that just as with scissors, you need both blades, don't you, for the scissors to do the job. We need both things, right? We need Jesus to be God's king, because he's the one who's got the right of entry into God's kingdom. He's got the ticket, if you like. He can bypass the no entry sign. But we also need God's king to face God's judgment. We need a death. There has to be a punishment for sin, or else God hasn't been fair. God hasn't given... God isn't just. So we need the crown and the cross to combine to cut the curtain. Shall we see if we can do it? Okay, here we go. Come on, head shears. Okay. Oh, it's happening, it's happening. Look at this. This is working almost as well as I'd hoped. Here we go. That's right, you two keep pulling on it because that'll help it go. Pull. And then we'll have a big clap when we get to the bottom and you can each hold up your own half. Hold on. Oh no, we lost part of it. Look, just give it a good tug. There we go. Hey! Right, a big thank you to all you guys. You can go and sit down. Drop it on the floor, Lucas. You guys can go and sit down. So that's what happened on Good Friday. The crown and the cross combined to cut the curtain. God's king faced God's judgment to open God's kingdom. Jesus got the rebel treatment so we can get the royal treatment. So that when we come to God to believe in him, when we talk to God by praying to him, when we die and go to meet God face to face, if we're trusting in Jesus, then we won't be met with a no entry sign. The barrier has gone. Your sin has been dealt with. You can come in. I mean, I don't know how you're all feeling this morning. It's likely, though, that at least there are some people here who feel far from God, feel like you're not good enough for God, feel like God doesn't love you. Well, Good Friday says it doesn't need to stay that way. God's king has died to open God's kingdom. So in a minute, when we pass around the bread and the wine to remember Jesus' death, we can and we should feel sad because of our sin, our rebellion, that meant Jesus had to die. But we can and should also feel very, very glad, very thankful because of what Jesus' death achieved, the way to God made open. God's king faced God's judgment to open God's kingdom to people, to sinners, to rebels like you and me. And that means, I think, that calling it Good Friday is possibly the biggest understatement in history. And it leaves us looking forward to even better Sunday. Let's bow our heads and pray. And then the musicians are going to play a song for us. So let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are God's king, but that you didn't hold on to your throne, but you were prepared to give it up, to face judgment willingly for us, to be treated like a rebel so that we could be treated like royals, so that we can go into God's kingdom, be part of God's family, and know our sins have been forgiven. We praise you for your sacrifice for us. Please help us to remember that that is what Easter is really all about. Help us to be excited and happy and also sad at our sin and keen to live in a way that pleases you. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Great. Over to the band.